College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss everything going on in the world of college basketball. We try to keep it mostly on the court, but there are some stories that happen off the court that we cover. But, man, what a crazy weekend as far as upsets and ranked teams getting beat by unranked teams or even ranked going head-to-head like Gonzaga and BYU. BYU took care of business there. There was a variety of games, and like I said, upsets or overtime games or whatever that we'll definitely talk about from today and yesterday, or I should say from Saturday and yesterday. There's some games going on right now. In fact, Louisville and Florida State are playing a very meaningful game as we speak. It's in the first half there, I almost said quarter. But, yeah, man, there's a lot to talk about. So, obviously, we're definitely going to break down what happened from the weekend, whether it's, Ohio State really improving in the last couple of weeks and now getting a big win over Maryland. Indiana, speaking of improvement, they just beat Penn State and Minnesota back-to-back games. Really, really big for them. Creighton is a team that we kept our eyes on. And just in general, the Big East, how that conference has played out. And even before, I was saying this off air, even before Saturday and Sunday, the results in the Big East, it was down to one game. Just a few weeks ago, not even, that Seton Hall had a three-game lead. You just thought, okay, who's going to be second, third, fourth? But that no longer is the case. The ACC is still up for grabs. We're going to go over a bunch of these games, and then obviously we're going to look towards this week and next week coming up for the top-tier marquee games, maybe some games that are flying under the radar. That'll be just good barn-burner-type games for the hardcore. Some upsets of the week. We'll talk a little betting lines as well. And, of course, we have to talk about our crappy pick of the week where my co-host Marshall just throws a game at me out of nowhere, and I just have to pick it. We kind of walk ourselves through that, and we talk mascots. We talk about the cheesy names for the arena, and we're doing all right considering this is usually a college football thing. We're doing okay when it comes to college basketball. But like I said, we'll definitely recap, talk about the conference races, where we stand. At some point, we're nearing the end of February, and March Madness is just around the corner, a couple of, 3 weeks before Sunday's Election Day. So I'm definitely looking forward to this stuff. But this is when it really counts. If you're on the bubble, you need a couple of big wins. You know, if you're looking to improve your seed from a sixth to a fourth or third, you need a couple of big wins. And also the folks that are sitting there on a sixth or seventh seed or even a fifth seed, they need to continue to play at least 500 ball to get in. And then, you got teams like my Gophers who, fell off the bubble with that three-game losing streak, and now they're just trying to scrape their way back in, and they would need to beat Maryland for starters and not only get one win but at least two to play another highly ranked team, two wins in the Big Ten tournament, not to mention the damage they'd have to do. So it's starting to heat up big time. We had a huge, huge heavyweight boxing event that happened this last weekend. The NFL's done. That's done. Now basketball is about to take over, and obviously college basketball takes the lead step all the way to early April, and that's where we'll be on a weekly basis talking college basketball. But for those who care about the NBA playoffs, just so you know, we keep the show going. We don't call it the College Ball Show. We call it the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, basically, where we, week by week, break down all the series, give our predictions, recap, yada, yada, yada. We take this show all the way that I'm talking about to the finals. And beyond that, too, we talk draft and free agency. So stay with us till early July, at least, with the free agency and the NBA. But before I start getting into this episode of the College Ball Show, if this is your first time listening to the show, you can find it on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live and archives there, but you can find the College Ball Show underneath the Ropeadope Radio podcast umbrella really anywhere, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, iTunes. You can also we're part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. You can follow us there is what I meant to say. You can actually use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find the platform. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's basketball, it's football, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there called betnow.eu with the promo code TGT. That's the Grueling Truth. And real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have and you're not quite happy, you want some sort of cable package to be able to watch sports or whatever, you could try AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. Not to be confused with AT&T TV, which is cable. And that's kind of limited area cable here in the country. But this is AT&T TV Now. They have a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract. Actually, not tied down. The plans start as low as $60 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. Try AT&T TV Now. I do it myself. And like I said, that other AT&T TV service, let's say that your internet where you live is just bad. Some regions of the country still have just horrendous internet. Then you could try AT&T TV, and that's available here in Minneapolis and Minnesota, parts of Florida, New York, California, up in the Northwest with Seattle and Tacoma, other places in the Midwest like St. Louis. So basically you just Google it and, put in your area code and see if that's available for you. But either way, AT&T TV Now, like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and kind of check his temperature and see how he's doing on this Monday. I was going to say afternoon, but it's a late afternoon.
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. I got some good sleep this past weekend. I had a softball tournament for 3 days. The basketball season's over. My freshman went 18-6. We're co-district champs at worst because we lost to one team twice and won our other 10 games in district. So, nice. And varsity girls made the playoffs, but with how basketball is down here now, if the top four seeds make the playoffs, and then you play the district near you and you just flip the seed, so 4 plays 1, 2 plays 3, vice versa, and we played a 1 seed and they were a legit team, so we kind of got smacked, but. It's the first time in 4 years they made the playoffs, so it was kind of I think rewarding for them. And we lost 10 seniors, so it's next year will be interesting. But now I'm on to softball, and that's we got a tournament this weekend, tournament next week, and then I get spring break. So I'll get a break from coaching here in a couple of weeks, which is perfect because that is even though it's not the first week of March Madness, it's the conference tournament week, which. I'm not going to say it's as fun as March Madness, but it's still pretty enjoyable, Chris, as you know. I mean, I remember, watching Big Ten basketball. I remember always, especially as a teenager, watching the ACC tournament, man, this Carolina, Duke, Maryland, those were some good memories. So plenty of good basketball coming up. And, Chris, I got to say, there are certain trends when we do our show every year. We kind of give the same trends for better or worse. They always happen. And, yeah. And I was the dumb fool again, yet again. And I don't know why I did it. Who had mentioned West Virginia this year? Hey, West Virginia, is this year they finally get better? Maybe. We've given the West Virginia speech every year. I think this is our 8th or 9th year of this pot. Every year it's always been, man, West Virginia, look at them. Well, since they were playing tonight live against Texas, I happened to click on their schedule, and I see their win-loss record's been going down. They've now lost 4 out of 5. So just and the schedule's been hard, but still, Chris, just another year of West Virginia basketball being brought up in this show with, hey, man, maybe this is a better team than normal. No, they're average. They're the same West Virginia team that they're going to be a complete crapshoot to make it past that opening weekend. Heck, they normally seem to be the team that you have to sweat tooth and nails just to make it past the opening round game. So like usual, some trends never die. I guess death taxes and West Virginia having a mediocre season after they've started off hot. So just so you know, Chris, the planet's still in one piece. We're still going around the sun. Nothing truly has changed because West Virginia has gone through a slump as usual per show.
So I gotta ask you a question. Can you hear me properly right now?
Yes, kind I of can. Weird. Can you?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
Good
just
over
fine.
Here.
Okay. Yeah, it just out of nowhere, it just kind of something just happened, and it seems like it's okay and everything, but it just the mic kind of did something weird, so I just had to double check that was okay. I don't really know what happened momentarily. But it had this little click, and it just did some weird stuff. So I had to double check. But we're okay. We are okay. Everything's okay. But anyway, we're gonna definitely break down some of this stuff. And you're right. A lot of themes and cliches when it comes to sports are exactly that for a reason. And sometimes we pick up on a theme from a conference or from like the Big Ten trying to win on the road, or just themes that kind of stick with you. A couple years back, there was some of the top teams, all of them went through like a three-game losing streak, which is very rare for the top, that many top-tier teams. And so, yeah, there's definitely some themes that just kind of stick with the year in and year out. And we say it because, hey, we don't mean to sound like a broken record, but it happens. There is a difference between pro and college sports, as we know. Sometimes you can just get too high and mighty for the next week, and sometimes you got nothing to lose, and you pull an upset that you just can't see coming. So there are a variety of games, like I said, that we will mention. We'll get into some recap from that Kansas-Baylor. Both of those squads were hot. I think it was 33 in a row and 23 in a row. I think it was 22 or 23 with Baylor, which was a Big 12 record. And they hadn't lost a conference, so that was big, and especially to do it on the road. You know, they had already played a game, so Kansas really needed that game. BYU snuck up and finally gave Gonzaga another loss. Speaking of a loss, this team hadn't been beat, San Diego State. They got beat at home, of all things, against UNLV. Dayton has just been on a tear of late, no doubt about it. Kentucky's sitting that. Wait till we go over that conference in the SEC. That has just flipped on its nose. I mean, LSU had the lead, and it was Auburn, Kentucky kind of battling back and forth because, you know, LSU hadn't played that many folks in the conference yet. Then all of a sudden it looked like Auburn had the advantage when they beat Kentucky, and they also beat LSU. And now you look and you go, wow, what the hell happened in that conference? I say that because Kentucky beat Florida in a competitive game 65-59. Louisville kept it going against that North Kakalaka team that's struggling. I hate to bring that up. I think they are on, was it six or seven in a row, the worst under Roy Williams. And I think the worst since 2001 or something.
When you lose three games in a row that are all essentially buzzer beaters, I mean, you just know it's not your year. I knew a month ago that it wasn't going to be our year just because I remember when we played Yale and we struggled to score against Yale, I'm like, oh, shit, we're in for a long year. This is not good. You know, call 911.
Right. But that'll be all the North Carolina talk we're going to talk, just so you know. I'm just going to say
The Duke game, we essentially had two backbreaking defeats. And then Wake beat us easily because we were obviously hungover after Duke. And then UVA hit a three with, I believe, a second to go for the win or with 30 seconds to go for the win. And then Notre Dame hits a three with 3 seconds to go. I mean, when you have three games you lose by 2-2-1, it's just, I mean, we're not, so that means we're not quite as shitty as our record is, but we're still pretty damn bad.
Yeah, so, and like I said, that'll be all from the North Carolina recap.
I had to pick boys to cheer.
That we don't care about North Carolina, okay? I know you do, but we don't. TCU, we just talked about that, beat West Virginia. That's a non-ranked team. UCLA on the road at Colorado. That's a non-ranked team beating a ranked team. Providence at home beat Marquette, who has been playing really well, and that's nothing to, you know, shake your nose at, but they beat a team ranked. And then Memphis, who was a good club, we know why they kind of faltered, obviously. They're missing a key, piece to their team. But 60-59 to, a pretty damn good Houston team. So between Saturday and even Sunday, when you look at Ohio State, I mentioned that they got the W over Maryland, who had been all by themselves in first place. Penn State is faltering of late. They lost on the road 68-60. Talked about Creighton really handled their business at home. And Butler had just won a buzzer beater. Not before that, Seton Hall kind of got some of their bearings back with a win over St. John's. But let's start at the tippy top, Marshall. Why don't we? With Kansas and Baylor, obviously a big, big matchup. 24-1 coming into that game. They, like I said, 23-game winning streak. Both of them combined, for 30 some odd wins in a row. Kansas, I think that was the underlying story was like, hey, Kansas has been looking pretty good here too. And it was a pretty competitive game. Kansas had a very small lead, actually. Wasn't that? What was it like? 34-31. And they played 30-30 ball in the second half to get it done. Obviously, the center for, who's been there for the last couple of years, last year he played really good, Azubuike, 23 points and a career-high 19 boards. There really wasn't much they could do about him, but that was a big win for Kansas because they had already lost at home to Baylor. And obviously something had to give with Baylor. They weren't going to go undefeated. What'd you think of this game? And also, is this maybe a good thing for Baylor to finally lose? Because we've seen that plenty of times. If a hot team down the stretch or even, Marshall, in the conference final the conference tournament, sometimes a hot team, even a number one seed, can lose there. But sometimes it turns out to be the best thing for them. Obviously, inside the Big 12 race, it evens stuff out now. That's not the best thing for them. But what'd you think of this game? What'd you think of their performances? And also, could this be what Baylor needs? Just another wake-up call like, hey, dude, you guys aren't going to run away with it. You're going to have to earn this one.
Whenever I've seen Baylor play this year, and especially that game against Florida, Baylor, Chris, normally has been a team with like some super, super athletic players and just a pretty good squad, but never kind of just an all-around great team. They're just kind of that team that, they'll get ranked in the top 10, fall down, and again, they're kind of like West Virginia. It's probably a 30% chance to make it past the first week of the March Madness tournament. But from this team this year, they're just a legit defensive force, which I think is why they're going to make a deep run for once in this tournament. Like, even though you lost the game, 64-61, it's just the trend I guess I've seen with them is just how damn good they are defensively. Like, this team, they're athletic like usual, but they also play incredibly good defense, which I don't think normally has been their MO. They've normally had either really athletic people and an okay offense or great defense, no offense. It just seems this is where they've put together all the freak athletes that they've had, and they can also play good offense and defense. So I think big picture for Baylor, sure, you lost one game to Kansas, who's also really good. Like, it's not the end of the world. But I just think their defense is going to carry them really far, Chris, just because I think it's much better than normal, and it's probably one of the better defenses in the country itself. I know Florida's not a great team per se, but they do have a great home court. And when they did that Big 12 SEC crossover, after about the game started about 5 minutes in, that defense said, you boys ain't scoring. I mean, just the lockdown defense they played was phenomenal. And it shows again, too, in conference, you're 13-1. Now, is the Big 12 conference loaded up like the Big 10 or Big East? Maybe not quite as good, but it's still respectable. It's not a joke for conference. And again, to go 13-0, some of that's obviously a good offense, but just, again, a respectable defense. And to go back to the boring old same cliche team, obviously Kansas, they have not had quite the hype they normally get this year. But look at them now, Chris, they're still 13-1. So, for once, they have someone on top of the conference with them, going to make them work for it. this split head to head. So, I mean, obviously, if they play it tomorrow, it's probably a flip a quarter for who's going to win. You know, it's pretty evenly matched two teams. But again, for Baylor, big deal. You lost one game. What you can't have is have one loss lead to a second loss. You know, that's the regroup, refocus. You know, your perfect conference record's over. But I mean, Baylor and Kansas are both 13-1. Texas Tech in second essentially is 9-5, and West Virginia 7-7. I mean, you boys are both fighting for the conference championship, and that's pretty much it. So is one team going to have a slip-up game where, you know, they fall flat against Iowa State, or they slip up against a K-State or a TCU or something like that? So fun game to watch. More lower scoring than normal, I would say. Again, props to the defense. And, again, I honestly think the way these teams have played, they both probably will win out. But, you know, we've seen crazier things happen, I guess.
Well, and a couple things stand out just in general. They shot below 40%, which has not really been them this year. Neither side shot well from three, especially Kansas, but they shot like 50 or 51%. Neither team got to the line a whole lot, the free throw line, but 8 of 15 is not that good compared to 7 of 10.
No.
So that's something to look at too. But if you look at Baylor, their next game coming up tomorrow is a home game at Kansas State, or with Kansas State, at TCU, who's a little tricky. But then they close the year at home, Texas Tech, who's still a ranked team, not a bad team at all, and then at West Virginia. And West Virginia will be in the mode where, hey, we need a bigger win. You know, we need the big win here. So could they lose any of those? We'll see. Oklahoma State is tonight, actually, for Kansas. Then you have at Kansas State. We saw what happened in that game. At Kansas State is always a weird one, right? And then TCU's still there. And then at Texas Tech. So there are teams that are capable, like, neither team is just like a cinch to win out in that scenario. You know what I mean? And you're right. Baylor made the Elite Eight last time in 2017. And even in that, even a couple of times they made the Sweet 16, it seemed like they had kind of overachieved once they got to the tournament, but it was kind of, like you said, an underachieving during the year. And, you know, Gonzaga, it had been since, like, November something, since Gonzaga had played a ranked team. And they finally did, and it was, you know, on the road, and obviously the BYU, you know, fan base was going to be all riled up. And I guess the key thing for me there is they gave up 91 points. I mean, that's a lot of points. I know it's West Coast, and I know that offense is actually a little bit more of a thing even more now, you know, in the game, in the college game. But 19 games in a row, you were going to lose somewhere probably down there. But I don't know, man. You give up 45 you give up 46 and 45. It just seems like, huh. Was that just a bad performance? Was it just one game on the road? It's not like shocking they lost, Marshall, but I don't know, man. They did give up a ton of points. And then on the flip side, San Diego State got beat in a somewhere along the middle line to lower when it comes to scoring, 66-63, which puts UNLV up a game over 500. So that one was even more of a shocker to me. And that's kind of like the non-conference stuff that we'll cover a little bit.
Yeah, you know, BYU, whatever. I hate that team. Gonzaga, it's so hard to predict. I mean, you know, they're a great team this year, have a great win-loss record. You know, are they going to make it to the championship? Or, you know, they're easily going to win their conference championship probably, or a regular season title for sure. They're probably going to make a deep run. In the tournament, it's just kind of the same old story, you know. So they had a slip-up game. Again, more points you probably do want to give up. Is it one game where they kind of got caught sleepwalking? You know, I don't know. That it's just, you know, those guys probably, to some extent, probably get through the motions. I know that BYU's 12-3, Gonzaga's 13-1, so the conference race isn't completely over. But again, besides St. Mary's and BYU and occasionally maybe San Francisco was kind of okay this year, they really don't have any people to really push them and test them. So maybe they had that one slip-up game. But, again, speaking of teams filling out brackets, I'd feel good about Baylor. I'd feel really good about Gonzaga. I mean, do they look great that game? No. Are they probably going to make another deep run like they normally do? Probably so. I've just never really liked BYU either, so I'm trying to discredit that win. But in fairness to them, BYU's ranked. And it's been a while, probably since they've been ranked. They normally have a good team, but even so, the past couple of years, their program stepped down a little bit. It's kind of been BYU and St. Mary's used to be ranked and uptight against Gonzaga, and that's kind of not been the case of the past 2 to 3 seasons. So that is a great win for BYU. That will help their tournament resume. Obviously, knock off Gonzaga. Maybe that gets you, as you said earlier in the show, Chris, maybe that gets you the 7 seed instead of the 8 seed or 9 over it, you know, however you want to phrase it. That's obviously an incredible resume win. Because with many of these teams who are on the bubble or looking for that big win, if you can get a top 10 win on your resume, that really does help. Because I know we're going to, you know, people always complain a bitch about the Selection Sunday show, but for the most part, they've kind of got the system solved out pretty well now. And I know one thing they always especially do show, Chris, is who were your big wins this year? You know, who on your resume was like, damn, y'all won that game? Like, holy cow.
Right.
So for the, oh, damn moment, like you won that game, BYU's got one of those 5-star, my God, that's a good win games. They got that under their belt. And you would assume, especially in college with all the emotion in sport, that that carries them off to a good win. But we've also seen it to where BYU can come out flat their next game from partying too. Well, actually, they're not allowed to party. maybe they had too much. I don't know. Hell, I don't know. Maybe they ate too much pizza.
Jesus juice.
But we'll see.
Okay, we'll just keep it moving.
So
no, you're right. Yeah, though. I mean, this is like a quadrant one win plus. You know, it's
huge.
Like a little.
Yes.
It's like an extra win on top. You're right.
And for UNLV, man, I had that game on. I got to give them credit. Like, I turned it on. I was like, holy shit, UNLV is up. And I was like, it's at the SDSU, okay. And then in the second half, and this you almost see this every single damn time in college basketball. Or it's like, okay, time for SDSU to make a run. And they did it until it got, like, late at the end. I mean, that game was pretty steadily until there was about 6 or 7 minutes to go where UNLV was pretty much keeping them away. And I know the score showed 66-63, but that literally was a late push. So for about 32-ish minutes, UNLV really did outplay them, and they found a way to win. That's a hell of a win.
Yeah,
I know that their the UNLV record, they're 10-6 in conference. They're probably they probably have to make a deep run. I mean, obviously, when you're 15-14 overall, obviously they had a hell of a tough non-conference. But they've been a pretty good team this year. I've been paying attention to UNLV. And they've been respectable, and again, 10-6, that's nothing to be ashamed about. But, I mean, to just hang in there and take that punch, that's a great win. And maybe that's something that gets them on a roll. You know, one more point, then I'll throw it back to you. One fun thing about watching conference tournaments is Chris, and you know this as well as me, there's always a couple of those teams who finish the year off on a good note, and that team might be the 9th or 10th best team in said conference. But then next thing you know, we're doing a recap show, and that team made it to the conference tournament. You know, maybe this UNLV team is the one who's going to play SDSU in the conference tournament championship.
The final,
right. Yeah, or maybe a team like your Gophers or Indiana or will help the Big Ten slow down loaded. Maybe some team makes a deep run. There's always kind of those Cinderella stories where, okay, dude, you finished 8th or 9th, but it's like the players kind of flip the switch. They're like, guys, we're not going to make the tournament unless we win our conference. Like, let's get going. And that normally happens. Maybe UNLV could be the team we'll revisit in a couple weeks of playing SDSU again for the Mountain West title.
Yeah, and then the Pac-12 we've been following minorly just because it's been a really competitive run. There's not a great team in there by any stretch of the imagination, but it actually has been very competitive. Oregon pulled off a win against Arizona in overtime, 73-72. Pritchard really stood out in that game for the Ducks. And 10 of 12 from the free throw line for Arizona, I'd say stands out as far as the reason why they lost that game. So, you know, it's been interesting, like I said, to pay attention to some of that. Because, you know, we're just looking for some reason to be able to, you know, to be able to just pay attention somewhat to the Pac-12. And it just, it's been hard, but, you know, they've made it, at least interesting to the hardcore, fan, this year. 16 in a row for Dayton now. They have just been on fire. They've been on a run, I think 25-2, overall. So kudos to them. That's for sure. But yeah, Saturday was a, you know, pretty heavy, in the way of, you know, upsets and tight games. And so it definitely got your day's, you know, work in there as far as working to watch all these games. Cause I watched a chunk of them, as the night went on. I paid attention to that Oregon game and Arizona game, but, once the fights got going, it was tough for me to, watch the games live. But I did watch some of them since then on DVR and whatnot. Another game that stood out to me was Sunday was Ohio State, who at the beginning of the year, they looked like they had been an approved club. It's like, all right, you know, Ohio State might be pretty good here. They had some injury issues. They really went down the drain there for a while, and they've been kind of scraping their way up. So I got to give them credit. You know, they're now ranked again. They're 18-9, and they played really well enough to beat Maryland, who has been on fire of late. Maryland really had. And it's not like they played bad in the game per se. It was a fairly well-played game, I thought. I think I've mentioned the free throw line being key a couple of times so far, you know, in the show, but getting to the line for Ohio State was major. One, they got there 28 times, Marshall, and hit 23 of 28. They protected home court. It was a spread. Muhammad kind of led them, I think, in scoring, but it was a spread, you know, team effort. They even got Washington. I forgot his first name, but he came off the bench, had, like, double digits, 13, and he was 7 of 8. You know, from just between him and Muhammad, 8-8 and 7-8. So, like I said, they got the job done. Maryland didn't get a whole lot off their bench, but they had won, what, 6 or 7 in a row. And like I said, they had first place locked down. So that was a pretty damn big win for Ohio State, who seems to be getting it together, at the right time. Yeah, it had been since, my God, January 14th on the road when they lost 56-54, Maryland to Wisconsin. Other than that, they had won every game there, and some of it was, you know, some at Illinois and Rutgers and Iowa and Michigan State. So it's a big win for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, and just to keep the ball rolling with the Big Ten, I got to give credit to Indiana. They knocked off Penn State, who is literally had been on a damn war path. Like, again, I remember I told you, I think two podcasts ago, I watched that Penn State game when they played the Gophers, and I bet the Gophers that game in Minnesota at home, and I was like, holy shit, this Penn State offense doesn't miss. They're shooting like a damn NBA team. And in fairness, the Gophers did come back to win that game, but I remembered, I'm like, that is a legit college offense you don't normally see. And, I mean, after that Minnesota game, they literally won, let's see, 8 games in a row. I mean, this Penn State team is legit. They had a hiccup against Illinois. They lost by 6, and they go into Indiana and lose by 8, which was a close game. That's a nice win. Again, kind of goes to show, hey, the Big Ten is super hard to win on the road. But I said this last year, I'm going to say it again. I always like to kind of, where would I put teams in my bubble sheets or the March Madness sheets? Penn State should be a Sweet 16 team, Chris. I mean, out of all teams I've watched this year, there's very few teams where your offense travels on the road and at home. A lot of college basketball teams we love, man, at home, the crowd gets you going. It's special. On the road, you're a different squad. For whatever reason, whatever they've done this year, that Penn State team is legit. And I got to give them credit because they were ranked ninth in the country up until this game. Now I see they're back to 16. But, Chris, when's the last time you can even recall a Penn State team that's not football ranked being ninth in the country? Like, there's something they got going on this year, and it just kind of sucks for them because they're in a conference that you don't really have time to take days off, man.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of that, I mean, I think this is their best season a while ago. Well, first of all, they won the most games in a row in conference since they joined the league. Then I think it was 95-96 where they are even ranked in the top 10 or something like that. And I think that was at the beginning of the year, too. But before we heat too much praise on them, they got a tough stretch here, Marshall. They've lost two in a row, which, you know, no big deal. But then they got Rutgers at home, at Iowa, or Michigan State. They got to play those three games in a row.
Jesus. So, Big Ten, man. Such a beast in the conference this year.
And, you know, what if they go 2-2 down the stretch? It doesn't mean they still couldn't make the Sweet 16 because, you know, they possibly could off of that, you know. So, yeah, man, it's definitely – and this is just – it sounds like a broken record, right? But, like, the way this year's going, it's setting up for, like, a magical March Madness, no doubt about it.
It's going to be incredible.
Creighton got a big win, a dominant win, 81-59. They four straight wins against the Associated Press poll over top 25 teams. And much like Indiana really got it going against Penn State, I think they were up 37-21, 40-21. That's what Creighton was up. I mean, that's a great way to start. You're up by 19. Then you put up 41 in the second half just to make sure that Butler is not going to win the game. They've been playing great, man. We've documented this Big East, too, all year long. And how fun it is, and, you know, how competitive it is. And some of these teams, like Creighton, who had fallen off a little bit earlier, like Marquette, who's really, you know, improved. Providence just got a big win. But this was, they're 22-6 now, and they're looking the part as a team that's going to be tough to beat come March.
I'll just say this, man. I fell in love with them this year because I need a team to cheer for because, my Tar Heels aren't even making the NIT.
But we don't need to hear anything about North Carolina, for Christ. Not even NC State.
So I knew at the start of the year they're a run-and-gun team that like to shoot threes. But the reason why this team can make a deep run is they're still a run-and-gun shooting team offense, but their defense is actually becoming pretty damn good. So – you have a team that loves to jack threes and loves to run. A lot of their lineups have five guys on the court who can score, and they're actually playing good defense, which has led to their 22-6 record. So at the start of the year, I'm like, okay, they're a fun team to watch, but come March, who knows? This team come March, you better be able to hang up about 75 points on them because they're going to score, and they're going to D up on you. So we'll see. They're playing great basketball right now. They have a coach that's been there forever. Yeah. He's probably the best team they've had that I can recall, maybe since his son was there. But, man, this team, that's the team I'm cheering for, and I think they'll be making a good run because not many teams in the country, Chris, can jack the three well and D up on you. That's a rare combination to have.
I mean, what's his name? Zegro or what was his name again?
Zegarowski. 7-7 that day.
For 7 from 3 and 15.
Pretty badass.
15-26 on the day in general. So that's telling you something right there. Now, you know, we'll see. They've been living by these now. They may be dying, know, in the next couple of weeks. That's part of it. But I agree. They do have probably the best team they've had since the coach's son was there. So they're going to be, I mean – they're definitely going to be a tough out, no doubt about it. Anything else from the last couple of days before we start breaking down some of these standings and all the different conference races and then look, preview, and predict for this week and this upcoming weekend, sir?
I think I'm good. I'm with you though. This, I know I was talking to one of my buddies in our group chat, and you know, there's been some media people saying like, man, you know, college basketball is here. Like, it's kind of boring or something. It's like, dude, if you're not enjoying the season, you're crazy. Because as you said a little while ago, this has potential to be one of the most like awesome March Madnesses of all time. Cause every week we're always talking about a new team. And this potentially should be one of those weekends where you just kick back and you just watch game after game after game and just enjoy it and soak it all in. So I'm not complaining one bit. I think that this March Madness is going to be incredible. And if we have a little bit of parity up top, even though we have great teams, are all kind of on the same page, that's going to be so much fun, Chris. I can't wait for that. I know you normally have to do all the talking. I'll start off a little bit with the conference recap, so I'll throw it back to you. But for the American Conference, they got Houston, who's in first, who's been having a pretty good year. Cincinnati, like usual, plays great defense and can't score that much. They're both 11-4. Tulsa, who was atop the conference at like 10-1 or 9-1, is now 10-4. They're right behind you. And then Wichita State, SMU, and Memphis, and UConn are all probably bubble teams. So is it a great conference? No. But it will be a fun one to watch. Actually, it's the conference tournaments in Fort Worth. I might actually go check out some of those games I told you about last week. But for the American Conference, I'd imagine probably four or five of those teams get in. So the conference race is probably going to go to Houston or Cincinnati. But it's been a pretty good conference overall for a mid-major. You can't complain too much about those teams. And for the ACC, it's Louisville 14-3, Duke 13-3, FSU 13-3. Then you take a step down to Virginia 11-5, and Wolfpack 8-8. We're used to a little more of a loaded top heavy half of the ACC bracket, but just not there this year. I mean, NC State's 8-8 in conference, they're maybe on the bubble. Irish are 8-8, maybe on the bubble. Syracuse 8-8, Clemson 8-8, Georgia Tech 7-9. I think for that ACC tournament, Chris, you know, we mentioned about how teams like to make runs. Maybe one of those teams I just said, if you win three or four, you might be able to sneak in just because the ACC tournament has so many games. Besides those top three, man, it is kind of crazy to see such a drop off, because normally the ACC, you normally have, I would say normally five to six legit teams. And I can't call Virginia that legit this year. I mean, their record's respectable, but they're not quite what they've been of late. Any of those teams I just mentioned that you think or you've seen play this year that could maybe make a little bit of a run or win a tournament game? I mean, between NC State, Notre Dame, Syracuse, Clemson, or are they all maybe going to be teams that are on the bubble and looking out come Selection Sunday down the road here soon?
Any of them can make a run in the tourney. I mean, just based off where they're at, they've got four teams that are tied at 5.5 games out. So I don't see how, especially like, I mean, NC State, maybe they got the best chance. Experience coaching wise, not that many experience with players for Virginia. So I think any of those teams could make a decent, run in the conference, you know, to the deeper in the conference tournament. But I still think it's a really interesting race because you have Louisville and Florida State playing right now. And I don't want to know the score now. I saw the score in the first couple of minutes. But, I mean, you're talking about Louisville up and then, you know, half a game Duke, half a game Florida State. I see all three potentially making deep runs, though, in the tournament. I think they're all capable of it. And if you look at even a team like Tulsa or Wichita State even, talking about the American Athletic Conference, we could say Cincinnati and Houston is probably likely, but Tulsa's a half game out. And even Wichita State, you never know. They have four tough games, five tough games remaining. If they went on a winning streak, they could actually somehow come back in this conference. Cincinnati played four straight overtime games for the first time. Not like the conference has been around for a long time, but four straight overtime games, that's pretty freaking crazy. We've mentioned how it's really just, you know, Baylor and Kansas in the Big 12. They have a four-game lead over Texas Tech, six-game lead over West Virginia. So, you know, I mean, it really comes down to who can win out. And I really think that one of these teams are going to lose, if not both of them down the stretch, whether it's Baylor or Kansas. Kansas now has won 12 in a row, right? So aren't they due for a loss too? You know, we'll see how that comes. We'll kind of slide into the Big East right here. You know, Seton Hall still has that one-game lead they had about 10 days ago, but it just doesn't feel safe with Creighton right on their tail, 11-4, one game back. Villanova, a game and a half back. Providence and Marquette and Butler, they're going to be too far back, but still solid clubs, no doubt about it. But if you look at Seton Hall, I believe I'm gonna dig into this real quick. It was crazy that not long ago they had a three-game lead, man. And here it is. They got a home game against St. John's, right? And actually, it was Seton. Did I say that wrong? Seton Hall was the buzzer beater. I'm not sure if I said that right a while back there at the buzzer. Then Seton Hall has to go at Marquette. Oh, my gosh. Home with Villanova and then at Creighton. So I think that's just looking at one of the schedules, and that's the leader. This thing's still wide open for the top three.
Yeah, and I'm biased just because I've loved watching this conference all year, especially when Gus Johnson calls the games. But, yeah, Creighton and Seton Hall, I know Creighton actually beat Seton Hall probably less than 2 weeks ago, and that was a game where Creighton played defense and Seton Hall didn't quite play as good. Creighton finishes with at St. John's, host Georgetown, host Seton Hall. So Creighton has a great chance. They should beat St. John's. Georgetown on the road is not good. Yeah, that game on that final Saturday or Sunday should be up for the tournament grabs. And, you know, looking past the bubble, because neither of the teams are on the bubble, winning that conference tournament is also something, Chris, that people look at for resumes too. Because I'm not saying these teams are probably one or two seeds, but maybe a two or three. But one thing the resume or the company's the committee, there we go, likes to look at is, did you win your conference in the regular season? That's one of those things where it comes to Selection Sunday, you know, when they discuss, hey, this is why we put this team in here. Okay, well, you won the Big East. So, and same thing as you mentioned just of late for the ACC. You know, obviously Duke, Louisville, and Florida State are all going to the tournament, but winning the regular season ACC is one part of that resume that makes you look a little more appealing. Yeah, for the Big East, man, that I think Creighton wins out. I think they're able to hop Seton Hall, but Seton Hall, they got that. That'll be a fun one. That'll be a fun way to end on that Sunday for Seton, who's going to take that conference regular season title.
Seton Hall has to get there first too to even be in contention, because they had just, you know, Marquette. True. And Villanova. Villanova could sneak up potentially.
That's a brutal stretch, man. That's a brutal stretch.
Especially to close. And Maryland still does. They've been lucky that Iowa's kind of been up and down. Wisconsin kind of fell off, then got back at it. Same with Michigan State. Penn State's lost two in a row. Maryland has a two-game lead. But this still, you got Penn State, Iowa, Michigan State, and Wisconsin all 10-6, all only two games out. Illinois, who was leading not long ago, they're 9-6, 2.5 games out. And you can even go down to 8-8, Ohio State, who just beat the top team. They're only four games out. I mean, they're not going to, you know, it's too far to go. But still, it just, you know, we hate to keep banging over you over the head with this stuff. But that conference is just so fun to watch, like, and it's just so competitive. And speaking of the Pac-12, too, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Arizona State is actually leading the conference, and there's three half games away. Oregon, UCLA, and Colorado, all a half game out. Arizona in fifth spot, only a game out. So that's obviously a wide open conference. And then, like I said, this one kind of has me scratching my head a little bit. Although I do like Kentucky, I've said it for the last couple of weeks, even with that Auburn loss, it was on the road, not that big of a deal. But LSU was in control. They were unbeaten for quite some time. They only had one loss. Auburn even beat them. Didn't look like Auburn with that win over Kentucky, you know, a couple of games back. It looked like they were in pole position to just close out. It's going to be the hardest, you know, stretch for the other teams. Auburn's going to be there. And wouldn't you know, Kentucky, 12-2 in conference, 22-5 overall, six-game winning streak down the stretch here. They got a two-game lead over Auburn and LSU, and Florida's still kind of hanging tight with only three games away. But Auburn and LSU definitely fell off, that's for sure.
Yeah, Auburn went on a cold funk, unfortunately, especially one night at Bedham. They were playing Missouri, and they were down like 13.5 against Mizzou. So, I, of course, bet them second half. I'm like, oh, they'll make a run and punch back. And they just never did. And then they even got smacked against Georgia this past week, too. So I'd heard on one of the games that they lost a player. So they had an injury, which has been affecting their offense. But, I mean, up until this really cold stretch, they've been playing really great basketball this year. But, yeah, them and LSU have been fading down. And, of course, Calipari, his boys or his guys, or I think it's his boys until they go pro and it becomes his guys. He's got them playing good basketball again. I guess no surprise that Kentucky's eighth in the country. Normally, they do have a couple of more conference losses because they normally have a little bit of slip up here and there on the road, but they really haven't even had that. So, go figure. Kentucky's 15-1 at home, 22-5 on the year. And speaking of Selection Sundays, I remember we talked about this off the show a couple weeks ago. Maybe the best part of Selection Sunday, besides seeing where your team is in the bracket, is Calipari's interview. Okay, he's always complaining, Chris, and bitching up a storm about why he got sent to this state for this game and
right.
How the media do this to me, and I can't believe this guy's. And Dick Vitale always starts just busting off it. The Calipari interview on Selection Sunday is maybe the second best thing of the whole tournament. But he's got his boys playing basketball, man. And 12-2, you got a comfortable two-game lead. You probably got 3 to 4 games to go. They'll be looking at winning that regular season title, which, again, helps the resume, and it makes your conference tournament seeding a little bit easier as well because there is kind of a decent drop-off.
Yeah.
You got Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, then you got the rest. Like, I've seen Mississippi State had some moments where they're okay. South Carolina's had some moments where they're okay with their defense, but those top three teams really have, or even maybe top two, because LSU's had moments too. But that number one seed will help and help them make a deep run, I think, as you do it, to make a run in the SEC tournament. One thing I was looking at, as you were talking about the Big Ten, as of right now, Bracketology and Lenardi has 10 teams in the tournament from the Big Ten. Damn. 10 damn teams from the Big Ten tournament. So we talk about a deep conference. You're sending 10 out of 14. That's pretty respectable. And 9 out of 10 times, Lenardi's dead on. So that Big Ten tournament, man, is going to be fighting and clawing and going for seeding and just going to be a hell of a fun watch in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and that 9 out of 10 is usually the Gophers are in 10, and that really sucks that they wouldn't make it if there was 10 teams, even if there's 8 teams. But – you know, that's neither here nor there. I think a lot of casual hoops fans love the team full of one and dones or the undefeated team, as long as it's a top notch, you know, comes from a top notch conference. They don't really care about the undefeated teams unless it's like Gonzaga or something. Otherwise, San Diego State, you know, was undefeated for a while. Nobody was talking about them, for rightfully so. But I think the casual hoops fan, they want to see – there's no Zion for them to watch explode out of his shoe. There's no dream team in the – you know, full of, you know, one-and-dones. So I think that's really what they're missing. But, you know, everybody starts to pay attention when it comes to sports fan once this thing kicks in a couple of weeks. So – that they didn't. Oh, it happened again. Can you hear me right now?
Yeah.
Weird. Huh. I don't understand why it's coming up like I must be just bumping something wrong. But it's like momentarily switching things. I don't know. Anyway, like I said, as long as you can hear me, that's all that counts. But yeah, looking at this week before we get to the weekend, we have number 18, Iowa, at number 24, Michigan State. As we know, breaking down that race, all this stuff counts. An unranked Maryland squad who's taking a step back. They're going on the road to Penn State, who's 16th now. That's going to be very interesting. You know, Michigan has actually turned their season around. But just hold on. They got Wisconsin coming in on Thursday. But then, I mean, Penn State and Iowa, another really tough game on Saturday. Providence at Villanova could be a tricky one. Kentucky and Auburn. I mean, if you want to see where the SEC regular season conference, you know, is going to be decided, Kentucky wins that, there's no way they would lose that. Then you got Maryland and Michigan State that day too. And I'm talking about the 29th coming up. Michigan and Ohio State, no, not on the gridiron, on the court. That's going to be good for Sunday as well. There is a variety of good games coming up in the week, and especially on that Saturday. Anything during the week you want to talk about before we maybe predict some of these marquee matchups on Saturday and then get on out of here, sir?
No, I think you're good. Let's make some picks, my friend. Let's make some picks.
All righty. So let's see if we can get the – well, let's do this one. Michigan State, number 24 right now, who seems to have stopped some of the bleeding anyway.
Sure.
At Maryland, who just lost, but it was on the road to a thriving of late team in Ohio State, like we mentioned. 22-5, two-game lead. Is Maryland going to pretty much close some of this stuff out here by getting a big win, you know, with Michigan State coming in? And remember, they're going to have to deal with the Gophers on Thursday, dude. That's a quick turnaround to have to face such a deep squad like the Minnesota Gophers. You know what I mean?
That is true. And I don't know. Maryland, from what I've seen this year, has pretty much accomplished almost every test or every challenge that they can. And they've been playing consistently good basketball for almost the whole season. So I'm going to go with Maryland to beat Sparty. I just think Sparty's had moments where they've just not played good at all. And I'll take probably the most consistent team. I guess you could argue Penn State, Illinois, you could argue so many teams in the Big Ten. But I do think that, I'm going to take the Turtles. Flashback to Juan Dixon. I think he comes and watches the game, and I think that the Turtles actually knock off Sparty. Or I shouldn't even say knock off. I think they beat them. That's not an upset.
So they protect their home court. I'm there with you. I think so. Speaking of home court, Rupp Arena, tickets as low as $95 to get in to watch this big game, the SEC regular season championship game, I guess you could call it to an extent anyway. You never really know what happens down the stretch. But I don't know, man. Like I said, you know, Auburn was just finding a way to win all these tight games. Then they beat Kentucky. Then they turn around and beat LSU at the time, who was unbeaten in the conference, 91-90 in overtime. The game after that, they won in overtime, 95-91. Now, obviously, they give up too many points. That's something that stands out. They got a coach who knows how to go, you know, take a team that not many people are talking about and take it on a deep run in March. But then they lost to Mizzou. Then they lost to Georgia, not on the football field. They barely beat, you know, Tennessee. But to me right now, Kentucky's defense and shooting from the field as far as just getting the best shot, I just think that they're too much on a run, and I think Kentucky will beat Auburn. Do you think Auburn can kind of make some noise here late in the season, and maybe they will overtake Kentucky?
I think whatever offensive issues they've had have been present just with the way they played their past 4 to 5 games. Again, I don't follow Auburn as close. I do smaller teams, but they've not quite been in the same flow as they were when this year started. When this year started, they were the run-and-gun team. They kind of play up tempo and outrun you, and that just hasn't been the case for the past 4 to 5 games. So I'm going to take a team who's been playing really good of late, and I'm going to take Kentucky to win. I'll take Coach Cal. And if I'm a little bitter at Auburn, cost me a lot of money that night, so I'm going to pick against them until further notice. Yes.
That's fair. Watch out for – I'm not calling it the upset of the week, but – Providence at Villanova could be a sneaky game considering what Nova has, you know, on their plate. Also, Seton Hall at Marquette, I'm really borderline calling that the upset of the week because they have – Seton Hall, I'm speaking of, they have a full plate left. And sometimes you can just be focused on the wrong things. I'm going to hit you with two Big Ten matchups, Penn State at Iowa on Saturday, and then Michigan at Ohio State. Who comes out with their hands raised like it would in boxing?
I'm going to take Penn State to win at Iowa because I don't think Iowa's a great team. They've won a lot of games here at home, protect their home court, but they've been shit on the road this year pretty much. So I'm going to take Penn State to win that. And you said, Michigan, Ohio State.
Yep.
I'm taking Michigan. They at the start, like midway through regular Big Ten play, they hit a funk. But of late, man, Juwan Howard, whatever he's gotten going on, they've been in a good role this year. They've won their past five games. So I'm going to take Juwan Howard, and I'll take Penn State. So, yeah, Nittany Lions and the Wolverines.
All right. And what is it? Is it five in a row? Yeah, something like that. They have – I got to give it to them. They've actually turned this thing around. It was looking like they were going to be NIT bound. It's not like they're just a gimme at this point. But I'm going to be on the flip side of both of those. I like Iowa at home against Penn State. I'm leaning Michigan, but you know what? I'm going to say Ohio State at home as well. And then let's get to the crafty crap of the pick of the week. I almost forgot. We actually weren't able to do, we had some issues, with the show. We weren't able to do the show. I had a little issue with the computer and whatnot, but with Skype, yada yada yada. So we weren't able to do a show last week. Unfortunately, it's the first time we missed a show on any of these shows in a long, long time. Let's get to that crafty crap of the pick of the week. I was trying to tap dance to remember what the game was we last chose because it was a while ago.
Oh boy, I'm gonna go with us getting a win. I'm just gonna say that, okay? we're 2-1 with a bye. 2-1 with a bye. Oh yeah, speaking of NFL byes, we're giving ourselves a bye. Man, did I find a hell of a game?
Was this two Saturdays ago that we picked? So that'd have been the 15th.
Yeah.
Can't do this. We can't leave our audience out like this. Come on.
Oh, I know.
What was it? Atlantic 10? Was it the Atlantic 10? Was it Conference USA? We gotta find it. Was it MAC? What the hell was it?
Oh, shit.
Unbelievable. I can't remember what it was.
We'll find it for our next show.
We can't just give away a win. That's what I'm saying.
No. Yeah. We're 2-1. With a game of research pending, we'll find out what it was. Okay, we'll get that back to you. But this Saturday, and this is just we can listen to the damn podcast and play it back. Okay. So this Saturday we have a matchup of just complete garbage. Chris, this is in the Summit League. Okay, I think we're continuing to hit on a different variety of leagues of just pure trash. This game, I believe, is at, let's see, I had to refresh. This game is at 2 o'clock.
Okay, it's on
so
Saturday.
Mid-afternoon Saturday in the Summit League. We're all having a couple of drinks in the morning, get some brunch, have some mimosas. You know, you're doing good. You kick your feet up to, and it's not even on ESPN Plus. You're going to watch Western Illinois travel to Denver, Colorado. Okay, so we're traveling to a fun city. It's a growing city. A lot of kids our age are moving out there.
The rent is expensive as hell. That's a good way to put it. Growing, like growing marijuana.
I wasn't even planning to tell, but it turned out that way, yes. This is just garbage facing garbage. The Western Illinois Leathernecks, who are 5-19 overall, are 2-12 in conference. The Denver Pioneers, who for the record have a decent college hockey team, don't have a great basketball team. They're 6-22 on the year, then they're also 12-2 in conference. So we have two teams who are both 2-12 in conference. So they've played 28 conference games, and they have a combined 4 wins. That is shit. This is not exactly a matchup you want to watch. I think ESPN declined to show it. The game is at the Magnus Arena. Okay, so it's an average name. This thing does sit 7,200 people, so we could have a raucous environment if they make it to a special night. Western Illinois' last 5 games, they've all lost all 5. Denver won their last one in OT. They've won 1 out of last 5. Chris, break down this matchup of 2 completely bad teams. When you have 6 wins this far into the year, the coach is ready to be done. The players are ready to be done. They're probably 1 done the conference tournaments. Break this down with Leathernecks against Pioneers, my friend.
I mean, it's tough to get by the Leathernecks. And not only that, but you should only have football then. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have any other team if you're just called the Leathernecks. But, you know, I understand some of that. They actually – this is interesting, dude. I'm looking at their first game, and the Leathernecks came to play, dude. They put up 50 freaking points on Denver in the first half. The first half of their first meeting.
Oh.
So, but the only thing is, it was an 86-80 game, so it's not really helping me out as far as how I'd want it to help me out. But you're right, Denver is coming off a nice little W. But, you know, you don't just go on the road and face the Leathernecks in, what'd you say, Magnus Arena? $18, so that's pretty good for Vivid Seats. It's still available. Neither team, you know, they're actually like in the 70s, both of them basically, but they both give up a ton of points, no doubt about that. There's really not much to, you know, differentiate these teams because, like you said, they both are just garbage. Denver's feeling good about themselves, though. I mean, with that win, overtime win over Oral Roberts. Hey, Oral Roberts, they're usually in the first round. Okay,
true.
Okay, that decided it for me right there. I'm going with the home club Denver because the Leathernecks are going to come from out of town. And the Leathernecks are home, aren't they?
No, it's in Denver.
Okay. So Leathernecks are going to come into town. They're going to smoke that good shit and be like, oh, my God, this is way better than the marijuana we have available in Western Illinois. We're just used to the Leathernecks. I almost said rednecks. The Leathernecks weed. So on that, the fact that Denver got that overtime win, they're feeling themselves, and Western Illinois is going to be feeling their face because the weed's so good, and they'll be probably eating junk food Friday night, the night before, and so they'll be a little sluggish. So I'm going with the hot club, 1-0 in their last 1 game. I'm going with Denver to protect that house, dude. They must protect that house. Denver to win in fashion, too, I'll say.
I respect the pick. If you can be confident with 2 teams who are 2-12, let's roll the dice and see what happens, and we will recap that for you when we come back. As Chris said, man, this it's really getting good time of the year. We got about 2.5 more weeks of good basketball, and then we're off to March Madness, and then that's when fun really begins. And the fact that there's not a star team in the country right now that everyone would pick means that, as we said, March Madness is going to be super, super fun. Hell, Creighton can make a deep run. Seton Hall can make a deep run. People are going to assume that Kansas and Baylor will. This is just going to be a really, really fun tournament to watch. So, Chris and I will be back next week. I will have stories on softball because my softball girls play 6 games in the next 6 days. So I will have stories to share about high school coaching. Spring break is getting close, which is much needed. And until then, have a safe week. Hope everyone stays out of trouble. And hopefully the cold weather is starting to leave where you live if you live in a state up north. Besides that, the boys are out. Have a good night. Peace.